Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Thanks for tuning in to Abiding in Christ. On the program today, we have the conclusion of a segment that we began last time. Our hope is that you'll find it challenging and informative, and that you'll listen to it with the knowledge that you can have full confidence in Christ, trusting Him as Savior and Lord. We also ask that as you listen, you prayerfully consider coming alongside Ware's Valley Ranch and supporting this ministry to children in crisis through a tax-deductible donation. To find out more about how you can help, call us at 866-41-ABIDE or visit us online at wvr.org. Again, thanks for listening, and now we join the broadcast. Now, I grew up in a family that was not starving, but we didn't have a lot of extra, okay? When I was in college, I had learned repeatedly to pray and see God answer prayer. Amazing provisions, over and over and over, many things. But I mentioned this morning at the breakfast table, Lisa brought it up, my special pair of shoes. That's what we'll call them, special shoes. And what happened was I was attending college in New England, and I was very insecure about what I perceived as my lack of athletic ability. And so in that context, I wanted to try to look athletic, even if I didn't perform in an athletic fashion. And somehow, at that point in American history, I believed that if I had leather sneakers, I would look more athletic. Because that, at the time, all the synthetic stuff, Nike didn't exist, all the synthetic stuff wasn't around, but everybody else had canvas, but the real athletes had leather. So I got a pair of leather sneakers, and I wore them through my first year of college, my second year of college. Now I'm in New England, my third year of college, and I came in from physical education class, and without untying them, that's a lazy man's way to do things, but without untying them, I reached down, grabbed the heel of the shoe, and pulled, and the sole of the shoe separated from the uppers. Have you ever had that happen to you? You know, at that point, there's not a lot to do to fix them, okay? So I removed the shoes, and I thought, what am I going to do? Those are my only sneakers, which is why they rotted off. But I thought, what am I going to do? Because I have to have a physical education credit in this class in order to graduate. So this is not a want. This is a need. God has promised to provide everything I need. And so I'm going to pray. And I said, Lord, I need some new sneakers. And I know that you've promised to provide everything I need, so I know you're going to give me new sneakers. But Lord, it would mean so much to me if I could have a pair of leather Converse All-Stars. That was the shoe at the time. If I could have leather Converse All-Stars, it would mean so much to me. They've got those horrible canvas things over in the bookstore, but it's like wearing clogs on the court, okay? I mean, they're just terrible. Anybody who wears those is immediately marked as a poor person. And I did not want to be a poor person in that college culture. And I didn't want to look like I was so unathletic that all I could afford in the way of sports gear was that horrible pair of sneakers. So I'm praying, Lord, I know that you do not owe it to me to give me leather Converse All-Stars. But it would mean so much, and I know that you are a loving Father who loves giving good gifts to your children. Please, if you'd please let me have leather Converse All-Stars. I will give you all the praise. That's my prayer. I thought it was good. And I had a couple of problems. One was the leather Converse All-Stars sold for $20-something dollars. I think it was $24, $27, something like that. This is in 1973. And so I didn't have that much money in my bank account, literally. I had like, I don't know, 18 bucks or 16 bucks. I mean, I had less than $20. And I would have to go to the mall in order to buy them, and I didn't have a means of transportation to get to the mall. I'd have to bum a ride to get there. So I just said, God, I don't know how you're going to make this happen, but I'll be so grateful, and I really will praise you. And then I said amen, and I went on with my day. I got my shower. I changed clothes. I went to supper, came back, did my studies, went to bed that night, got up the next morning, went over to the mail room to check the mailbox, and I hear these guys on the other side of the hallway right behind me, and one of them says to the other, hey, look at that, Converse All-Stars for sale. My antenna go up, you know. And I turn around, three guys are standing there looking at a handmade sign on the bulletin board that's just been put up. And it says, brand new leather Converse All-Stars for sale. Size 8.5D. That was my size, okay? And then it said, color, purple. You got to be kidding me. I thought, these have got to be my shoes. Maybe they're navy blue, okay? It said, if interested, contact box 382 or whatever. So I wrote out a note and said, if the shoes are still available, I'm interested. And I put it in box 382 or whatever. I got a note back later that day. It said, the shoes are yours. Come to Shepherd Hall. That's a women's dorm. Ask for Joe Snook. I thought, okay, this is a prank. I don't know who heard me praying silently in my dorm. And I thought, I'm going to walk in there, and they're going to say, may I help you? And I'm going to say, I'm looking for Joe Snook. And 10 people are going to erupt in laughter and say, ah, he's the guy, he fell for it. Okay, because the whole thing was just crazy. Why would you have purple sneakers? Okay, why would a guy named Joe be living in the women's dorm? I mean, the whole thing made no sense. But I couldn't stay away. So I went to the dorm, and I said, I'm looking for Joe Snook. And they said, oh, yeah, sure. Joellen, it was J-O-E Snook. Okay, I read it as Joe. It was supposed to be Joe E Snook for Joellen Snook, which if I'd been going to our women's basketball games, I would have known that she was one of the star players. Okay, but I was not that interested. So Joellen comes, and she's got the shoes, and they are purple, okay? They're not kind of purple. They're like, purple! And I said, why are you selling the shoes? And she said, well, they're not my size. And they were my size. And I said, well, why don't you return them? She said, well, it's been too long since I bought them. I said, when did you buy them? She said, I bought them last spring. And I said, well, why did you buy the wrong size shoes? You just like the color? She said, no, I hate the color. And I said, was it a really great deal or something? She said, no. She said, I don't know why I bought them. She said, they've just been sitting in my closet ever since. And last night, I was sitting there doing my math, and all of a sudden, the thought popped into my head, you need to sell those shoes. So I made the sign, and I put it on the bulletin board, and then you contacted me. So I bought the shoes. She even came down a dollar on the price. Okay? Those shoes were picked out for me by my Heavenly Father, who not only promises that he will meet our needs financially, but he knew I needed to wear purple shoes, both in order to humble me, and because literally every day that I ever wore those shoes, people would say to me, wow, what's with the purple shoes? Or, huh, where'd you get those? Or, why have you got those? Or something similar. And I would get to tell the story about how my Heavenly Father, who is the King of the universe, gave me these shoes. And purple is the color of royalty. Now, those shoes are still at the ranch. And the reason I haven't gotten rid of them is because I don't want people to think I'm a liar. Okay? But they're sneakers that are like a stone of Ebenezer. The stone of Ebenezer was erected to say, thus far, God has blessed us. Let me tell you something. When you know you can depend on God as your source, the anxiety goes away. I don't have to worry about retirement. I don't have to worry about, you know, what if the stock market wipes out all my retirement savings? Well, then God will have another plan. It's going to be okay no matter what. You know, so you'll always be able to live comfortably? No, not necessarily. But I'll be able to live as long as God wants me to, with as much comfort as he wants me to have. And hopefully, he will continue to bless me with sufficient resources to be able to help others, which is the purpose for which God pours extra blessings into our life. See, that's another lesson I've had to learn across the way. I think every time something good happens to me, it's for me. You know? God puts something in my life and I'm like, wow, thanks! And he says, that's not for you. I'm like, what do you mean it's not for me? I want you to give that to someone else. You got to be kidding. I thought this is for me. How much of it do I get to keep? And sometimes I get to keep some. I'm not trying to present myself as somebody who has just made wise decision after wise decision after wise decision. I am saying if God can take care of me, he can take care of you, and he promises in his word that he will if you depend on him. When we lived on Cape Cod, Susan and I were doing our finances. And bear in mind, we're juggling a lot of things, okay? We've got the ministry there and our son with serious medical issues, and we're having to deal with all kinds of stuff. And now we're being a little more proactive and we're looking ahead. And as we did so, we began to realize we're going to come up $1,000 short. We're going to be in trouble here. And so we talked about it and we prayed and we told the Lord, we need $1,000. Please, please provide. And we got a letter from people we hadn't seen in a couple of years and we'd only met once. They lived in Memphis, Tennessee. And they said, we're having our devotions and both my wife and I felt that God told us to send you $1,000. And we weren't sure if that meant we were supposed to send $1,000 or if we were each supposed to send $1,000. So just in case, here's two. We thought, fantastic! And it turned out we were wrong, we needed two. Isn't God good? I'm just telling you, when you know you can depend on him, I don't have to run the universe. I don't even have to run part of the universe. I just need to trust and obey. Trust and obey. So, I mean, I could tell you stories all day about amazing providences in which God has met our needs. We just got to see a couple of weeks ago the guy who was our boss at Gordon College. And I was going to seminary. And this guy was the dean of students. And we'd just been hired and we were going through orientation. And we sat down, having just moved from Mississippi, which was the cheapest state in the Union, to Taxachusetts. And you know, everything was more expensive up there. And so we sat down, we did our finances, and we said, over the course of a year, we're going to need, was it $1,000 or $1,200? $1,000 more than we have at the end of the year. It's not like, you know, we need $1,000 now. But over the course of the year, we're going to run $1,000 in the hole, and we don't want to have debt. So between seminary expenses and gasoline and insurance and all these things, we need another $1,000. God, if you would please provide that. And I said, Lord, I'm perfectly willing to work for it. I don't mind working while I'm in seminary. But if you would please give me a job that is part-time where I can net $1,000, okay? And we'll give you all the praise. The next day, the dean of students pulls me out of the orientation meeting, and he looks like he's got bad news. And I thought maybe one of our relatives had died or something, and he was coming to tell us. He said, Jim, you know that I'm new in this position, and they just hired me recently, and so I didn't have the opportunity to develop my own budget. But he said, I need an assistant this next year. And he said, the embarrassing thing is, I can't offer you very much money. And he said, what I need you to do is 4 hours a week of counseling with students and 4 hours a week of special projects for me, like writing letters to the faculty or whatever. But that's what I need. Would you pray about doing that? All I can offer you for the whole year is $1,000. And I said, that's great, I'll take it. And he said, you don't want to pray about it? I said, I prayed about it yesterday. Okay? Because I did, see? I mean, we'd already prayed. This was the answer. Thank you, Lord. I'm just telling you. The story of Ware's Valley Ranch is this kind of story. We prayed for over 20 years before we knew each other, before we'd ever met. God had given Susan and me the same vision to have the ministry we have now. And so when we met each other and I said, have you ever felt called by God to do something special with your life? And she said, well, yes, I felt for some time that someday God wants me to have a children's home. I said, really, I can relate to that. In fact, you might enjoy reading the paper I wrote my freshman year in college about the fact that I believe God wants me to have a children's home someday. And she said, well, I'd like to. And you might enjoy reading the paper I wrote my freshman year in college about the fact that I believe God wants me to have a children's home someday. Well, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that we're meant for each other, okay? God had given us both the same burden for the same kind of kid to have the same ministry. So, we thought we'd marry and soon have a children's home. We prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. And Susan would say to me sometimes, don't you think maybe you ought to resign from this church and start raising money to start the children's home? And I said, no. God told me when I was a teenager that when it was time, he'd give me the land. And when he gives me the land, then I know this is the time and the place. And after all those years of prayer, God gave us the land in Ware's Valley. And after we'd lived on it for 18 years, we found out that my wife is a direct descendant of the Wares for whom Ware's Valley is named. God loves stuff like that. I'm just telling you, God is your source. If you don't get anything else about finances, but you get that, you'll be 10 million miles ahead of most people who go to church. God's your source.
If you enjoy learning about biblical truths on abiding in Christ, you won't want to miss this opportunity to join Jim Wood as you journey to the land of the Bible, Israel. Preaching since he was only 15 years old, Jim is well prepared to share insights at each location you visit. Plan now for this 2019 trip by visiting wvr.org/Israel. Again, visit wvr.org/Israel to learn more about this April 2019 travel opportunity with Jim Wood.
To step out of my comfort zone, to the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
Now, that said, let me share a few other principles. Because God is our source and we get everything from him, the second principle, and this is on page 188, is I owe everything to God. I owe everything to God. I have people who want to, do you believe in tithing? Yes. So you believe 10% belongs to the Lord? No, I believe 100% belongs to the Lord. 100% belongs to God. If I give 10% of my income, it's a nice reminder to me that it all belongs to God. Okay? So you just give the 10% and that's it, right? No, that's the tithe. Then there are offerings. Oh. So you give more than 10%? You give whatever God tells you to give. You give whatever God tells you to give. It's all his. It comes from him. It belongs to him. We are stewards. Our job is to do what he says with what he entrusts to us, remembering that it doesn't become ours. It's his. It's his. Whether it's money or land or health talents, time, relationships, whatever it might be. It's all His. Everything's His. And we're going to answer to Him for what we do with what He entrusts to us. Okay? Let me tell you something. God has it all figured out. He has no lack of resources. He never will. God, Corrie ten Boom, whom I had the privilege of knowing when I was a teenager, Corrie used to say, there's never a panic in heaven. There's never a panic in heaven. God is never going to look at your situation and say, oh, wow, I didn't see that coming. Okay? Never. He's got the whole thing under control. He doesn't promise that you'll always have everything you want. He does promise you'll always have everything you need to do His will. You won't always have everything you need to do your will, but you will always have everything you need to do His will. And so it all comes from God. It all belongs to God. I owe it all to Him. There are a bunch more principles in here. You need to read this book. Let me tell you, this is a really good book. But I want you to understand, as with the other things we say about marriage, it's not just about psychological dynamics. It's about a relationship with God first and each other second. And if you'll continue to grow toward Him, you will get closer together. And my wife and I can testify to that because we finish each other's sentences. Okay? We've been together a long, long time, and that's because of God. It's because Jesus has bound us together and made us one. Jesus described it this way, what God joins together, let man not separate. God is the one who makes the marriage work. God is the one who unites husband and wife. God is the one who has a plan, and by the way, that's the third point in this section. So there are just 3 points? No, there are a bunch. But the third point is God has a plan for your life. Because He does. He has a plan for your life. God isn't sitting there kind of busy with other stuff and then you come along with a problem and God says, oh, well, let me come up with a plan. God has a plan for your life. That's why I told you about our living in Ware's Valley for 18 years before we found out that my wife is a descendant of the Ware's. We didn't pick Ware's Valley.
And none of those people live there anymore.
That's right. God gave us land that perfectly fit the description we'd put in our business plan. We said about 100 acres with about 40 acres of pasture, preferably in the mountains. The deed said 104 acres, 38 of it was pasture, and it adjoins the Great Smoky Mountains National Park. I'd say that's a pretty specific answer to prayer, wouldn't you? Okay? When you pray, by the way, don't just say, God bless so-and-so. Ask God to guide you so that you can pray specifically so that when He answers, you can say, yes! It's okay to pray for Leather Converse All-Stars. Specify color. Just my advice. Jesus, when He was talking about prayer, gave the example of a man who goes to his friend in the middle of the night and says, friend, lend me 3 loaves. He was specific and he was persistent. He didn't say, do you have anything I can offer my guests to eat? He said, I need 3 loaves of bread. God loves to answer prayer like that. Because then when it happens, you say, that's exactly what I prayed for. And God does it with class. He'll take care of you. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to depend on Him. Don't be afraid to ask Him. Don't say, well, I don't want to irritate Him. Okay? If that's the kind of father you had, He's different. Okay? He loves you. He'll be there for you. You can depend on Him all the time. Don't be afraid. Let's pray. Father, thank You for these dear folks. Please help them more and more and more to trust You and joyfully bring their requests to our loving Father, not just for stuff for us, but stuff that we might share with others. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood, www.wearesvalleyranch.org.